Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishopriggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This podcast was recorded on Wednesday the 13th of December, and the volunteers who recorded it were Corey, Hunter, Ian and Rebecca. Defibrillators are rolled out. Life-saving defibrillators have been installed in a range of council-owned and operated premises, including community hubs, halls, leisure/cultural facilities, workplaces, schools and early year centres across eastern Bartonshire. Work has been carried out to fit internal and external devices following consultation with local residents, organisations and partners. Automated external defibrillators, AEDs, analyse the heart rhythm of people who are experiencing cardiac arrest, where the rhythm of the heart stops or goes into fibrillation. When appropriate, they deliver an electric shock to the heart to help restore its normal rhythm. There are approximately 75 AEDs in buildings owned and operated by Eastern Bartonshire Council. All external council devices are now visible on www.defibfinder.uk. That's www.defibfinder.uk, which provides up-to-date information on defibrillator locations across the UK using data from The Circuit, a national defibrillator network compiled by the British Heart Foundation. Internal units are also being added. All defibrillators registered on The Circuit are visible to NHS ambulance services, who can direct callers to the nearest location and provide them with the necessary access code. Further consultation will take place with communities to ensure defibrillators are in the most appropriate and effective locations. Councillor Gordon Lowe, leader of Eastern Bartonshire Council, said, "This is an excellent project, which we hope will save lives and provide reassurance. It is important that, in those crucial moments after a cardiac arrest, defibrillators can be accessed quickly and safely. Our newly augmented network includes a mix of internal and external installations aimed at delivering 24/7 access across our local communities. The Council is providing devices, necessary equipment and ongoing maintenance. Local groups and individuals have also recently raised funds to buy defibrillators for specific areas." Councillor Lowe added, "I want to commend community organisations, businesses and individuals who have played a vital part in securing defibrillators for towns and villages across Eastern Bartonshire. This is a great example of how we can work together for the greater good. If you suspect someone is suffering a heart attack / cardiac arrest, call 999 and ambulance services can direct you to the nearest defibrillator. Visit www.defibfinder.uk. That's www.defibfinder.uk. And that article was read by me, Ian. This Week in History. December the 15th, 1890. Chief Sitting Bull, Sioux leader, was shot dead in a scuffle with Indian police. On this day last year, the final three episodes of the Duke and Duchess of Sussex's controversial documentary dropped on Netflix. December 16, 1653. Oliver Cromwell made himself Lord Protector, becoming an uncrowned king for the next 4 years. On this day last year, Twitter suspended accounts of multiple journalists who wrote about Elon Musk. December 17, 1983, an IRA car bomb killed 3 police officers and 3 Christmas shoppers outside Harrods in London's Knightsbridge. On this day last year, wildlife cameraman Hamza Yassin won Strictly Come Dancing with his professional partner, Jowitsa Pristel. December 18th, 2014, great train robber Ronnie Biggs died aged 84. On this day last year, Argentina beat France to win the World Cup. December 19, 1981, the Penley lifeboat Solomon Brown was lost with her crew of 8 off Cornwall. On this day last year, Elon Musk vowed to abide by the results of a public poll, online poll asking Twitter users if he should step down as head of the social media platform. December 20th, 1928, Harry Ramsden started his fish and chip restaurant in a hut in Ginsley, near Leeds. Pupils fill time capsule. Primary pupils have risen to a challenge set by the team at Taylor Wimpey to capture a snapshot of life in 2023. That saw youngsters from St Philomena's and Robroyston create a time capsule to be sealed until 2073. The time capsule will make a very interesting discovery in 50 years and marks the official launch of Taylor Wimpey West Show Homes and Sales Information Centre at Monument Way, Robroyston. Pupils from every class brought items for the time capsule, helping to create a picture of the current life in Robroyston, which is now sealed for future discovery. Principal teacher Mrs. Sharkey told us, "This has been a fun project for the whole school to be involved in, and it's an opportunity for the children to make a little bit of local history in their own community. This project has been a great way for the children to think about the regular items they use in their everyday life, and whether children in the future will still use them in 50 years. Knowing they played a part in this project and its link to the new development at Monument Way is very exciting. Items included composed letters to their future self, with their aspirations for their careers, class of 2023 pictures, a Scotland football shirt and boots to note the country's qualification for Euro 24, an old model mobile phone, glasses, some of the children's favourite toys, an analogue clock, and a playlist from P5/6 which tells the recipient about their favourite music. They also provided us a school tie, a local newspaper, and a very special commemorative St Philomena's souvenir brochure, dated 1940 to 1990, which includes history about the school and pictures of old teachers. Audrey Ross from Taylor Wimpey added, "Our great project with St Philomena's is a great way for us to capture some memories of what it's like to be a child growing up in Robroyston now, that I'm sure will make an interesting discovery in the development in years to come when it's opened. We're proud of how the children have embraced this project, and they provided some really interesting items." Another item included was an old glass milk bottle found under the floor of the school's old gym hall when the school was refurbished in 2008.
Police appeal as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. Cops in Kirkintilloch are appealing for help after a car was torched in the Crosshill Road area of Lenzie. The grey Skoda Superb was parked on the roadside near the junction with Boghead when it was set alight around 9:40 p.m. on December the 4th. DC Mark Souter told us inquiries into this fire remain ongoing, but it is believed to have been willful. We're asking anyone with information to come forward, including if you live or were travelling in the area and may have seen any suspicious activity overnight. Anyone with any information should call police on 101. Information can also be left anonymously by contacting Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111. The incident follows the theft of a van that was later torched in Mulgay in late November. Police continue to seek information on that also.
Midwives service available online. NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde's birth register shows that its midwives have cared for 12,079 women giving birth between January the 1st and November the 16th this year. A total of 178 of these were multiple births, with data also showing the busiest month for births was July, with 1,195 births. The average weight for babies born was 7 pounds 2 ounces, with the heaviest baby weighing in at over 11 pounds. NHS GGC has released this data in line with the launch of its online registration for maternity services, with those expecting a baby encouraged to head online to register for their first midwife appointment. Previously, women would need to call a central booking office to register, and whilst this line remains active, the option of being able to do so online will further increase the accessibility to the service. Director of Midwifery, Dr. Mary Ross Davey, said, "When expecting a baby, registering for your first midwife appointment should be one of the first things that a pregnant woman does. One of the best things you can do for you and your baby is to make sure you meet your midwife early. This helps us get you the right advice, support and care, including tests and scans at the right time. By going digital with our registration process, we're becoming more easily accessible and hope to encourage more women to reach out to us as soon as they find out they're pregnant. You can register at nhsggc.scot/meetyourmidwife. Read by Rebecca.
Provost picked her 2023 Christmas card winner. What says Christmas more than a snowy, moonlight Christmas Eve with Santa's sleigh and reindeer silhouetted against a full moon? That's the magical scene that will feature in Provost Renick's Christmas card this year, thanks to winning artist Anthony from St. Matthew's Primary in Bishop Briggs. Anthony's atmospheric design won over the judging panel against some very stiff competition from pupils across the east end of Bardonshire. His depiction of Santa dashing across the skyline on a still, snowy Christmas Eve, bathed in the light of a full moon, will be printed onto some commemorative cards. It will also be animated and used as the council's official Christmas e-card going out to hundreds of business contacts and partners. Anthony was the star of the show at a recent event in his school, attended by Provost Rennick and Deputy Provost Colette McDermott. He received an art set and a pack of cards featuring his drawing. Provost Rennick said, "It was great fun looking at all the entries and seeing how much artistic talent we have in our schools. Anthony's picture jumped out at us with all its detail and excellent use of colour and light to set the mood. His drawing made us feel Christmassy straight away. A huge well done to him, and congratulations also to runners-up, Eva and Maya, who made their job really difficult. I hope they all enjoy using their prizes." Anthony added, "It's great that everyone liked my picture, and I'm so pleased to have been picked as this year's winner. I really enjoyed doing it. It was colourful and took a while to complete. I'm happy with the way it looks on the card." Financial help plea for boozers. The Scottish Beer and Pub Association and the Scottish Licensed Trade Association have joined forces in a call for help from the Scottish Government. The two trade bodies want to see the Government pass on funding for their sector following the UK Chancellor's autumn statement. In that, he announced that licensed English businesses are to receive 75% reduction in rates bills in the financial year 2024-25. Pubs elsewhere in the UK benefited from the reduction, but the Scottish Government chose not to pass on the reduction, despite Barnett consequentials being given to the Holyrood administration. That has resulted in permanent closures in the sector, accelerating at double the rate in Scotland, 1.7%, than in England, 0.75%. In their joint statement, the SPPA and SLTA said, The failure to pass on rates relief last year was a devastating blow for Scotland's pubs and bars, and has resulted in a record number of permanent closures. Already in 2023, with a quarter still to go, permanent closures are more than one third higher than the whole of last year, and double the closure rate across the remainder of the UK. Many businesses are still saddled with debt incurred during the pandemic, and have been unable to recover with the increased financial pressures in the aftermath, including sky-high energy prices, inflationary pressures and impacts to supply chains. The next financial year will also see increased costs in the form of wages, with increases to minimum wages, which will need to be paid for directly by businesses. The rates relief in England will help businesses there with this increased cost, but unless the Scottish Government passes on the support, pubs and bars north of the border will be left to entirely fend for themselves, and the rate of closures will only increase. The Scottish Government must ensure that the rates relief is passed on in full, or it will cement further closures in the sector, directly resulting in job losses imposed for our community across the country. Now the pair are asking for Holyrood to replicate the rates relief, introduce a permanent NDR licensed hospitality specific multiplier of 35p for support of our pubs, announce a further freeze of the business rate poundage at 2022 levels, and mitigate the tax burden facing consumers.
Traffic Free Zones Pilot. A Traffic Free Schools pilot scheme is running at 4 Eastern Bartonshire schools throughout December. The pilot aims to increase child and pedestrian safety and will see driving prohibited on sections of road immediately outside the entrance to schools for a short period of time at the start and end of the school day. This can improve safety by reducing the volume of vehicles parked and moving around at the busiest areas for children and adults accessing the school. It can also make places more attractive for walking, wheeling and cycling, thereby encouraging more journeys to be made in this way. Councillor Paul Ferretti told us, "In 2022 we set out our commitment to improve road safety and the surrounding environment outside schools for pupils, carers and neighbouring residents. By restricting these areas to moving motor vehicle traffic during set times, we hope it will encourage a healthier lifestyle and an increase in walking, cycling and wheeling to school. This should lead to improvements in the air quality and a reduction in noise pollution to help deliver a happier and more pleasant environment for everyone." Three locations have been selected for the pilot: Clover Primary in Mulgaye, Craighead Primary in Milton of Campsie, and the shared St Matthew and Wester Cleddon's Primary Campus in Bishop Briggs. Maps of the area included in the restricted zones can be found on the Council's website. The scheme will run until the schools finish up for the Christmas break on December the 20th, and will prohibit driving at selected roads between 8:30 a.m. and 9:15, and 2:30 and 3:15 p.m. Monday to Friday. Anyone violating these restrictions will be committing an offence and eligible for a £50 fixed fine from Police Scotland, who will be responsible for enforcing the scheme. A survey was also carried out in recent months, which was responded to by school staff, parents, carers and local residents, and parking counts were taken. Councillor Ferretti added, "Over 340 people responded to the survey, with 66% positive or very positive about its introduction. This provides the project with a strong foundation of support to build on."
Deadline for community grants just weeks away. Community groups carrying out vital work in towns and villages across Eastern Bartonshire are being encouraged to apply for a community grant. Local organisations who have a constitution, have a bank account, are not-for-profit and they aim to bring benefits to residents of Eastern Bartonshire can apply for up to £10,000. As part of the 2023-24 budget, the council doubled funding for the scheme from £100,000 to £200,000. It also allocated £100,000 from the UK government's Shared Prosperity Fund. Council leader Gordon Lowe told the Herald, "We are pleased to be able to support our organisations that carry out vital work in our communities. Time is running out to apply for this round of the community grant scheme. If you're eligible, please get in touch and allow us to help you continue to make a positive difference in our villages and towns." The Way Ahead group, based in nearby Killermont Parish Church, is a lifeline for people who have suffered strokes, providing physiotherapy, friendship, activities and more. The organisation, which regularly helps 24 people with the support of its volunteers, recently secured a community grant and has encouraged others to apply before the December 22nd deadline. Chairwoman Mary Munro said, "Definitely go for it. We are delighted." For groups such as ours, the grant and the support we get from the council is of great importance. Previous recipients include Brownies, Boys Brigade and Scouts, football teams for girls and boys, tennis and bowling clubs, and organisations for children and older people. Applications are assessed by the Grants Advisory Committee, which makes recommendations for awards to the Community Planning Partnership Board. The CPP includes representatives of the Council, Health and Social Care Partnership, Police Scotland, East Dumbartonshire Voluntary Action, the Leisure and Culture Trust, and other organisations providing public services locally. For more and to apply, head to eastdumbarton.gov.uk/community-grants-scheme, emailing communityplanning@eastdumbarton.gov.uk, or call 0300 123 4510. That's 0300 123 4510. Operating changes. As the countdown to Christmas begins, residents are being urged to check out the changes to essential council services over the holiday season. Bins, customer services, libraries, leisure centres and arts venues will all have revised opening and operating hours, full details of which are now available on the council's website. Waste services will not be operational on Christmas Day, Boxing Day, New Year's Day or January the 2nd. The council say possible delays in the service provision are expected during this busy period and have urged residents to leave bins on the pavement until the collection has taken place, which may be later in the day than usual. Normal collection days are delayed 2 days each week. The Mavis Valley Refuse and Recycling Centre will also be closed on the above dates. Over the rest of the festive period, the site will be open to the public Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. and between 9 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. at weekends. A council spokesman added, "Once the festive fun is over, don't forget to recycle your real Christmas tree to ensure it doesn't contribute to the rubbish going to landfill. From January the 3rd, you can dispose of your tree in a skip at William Patchett Library at Car Park, Kirkintilloch, Mavis Valley Recycling Centre, Bishop Briggs, or Mulgay Community Education Centre. Anyone unable to take the tree to a recycling point can call 0300 123 4510, that's 0300 123 4510, to arrange a pickup free of charge between January the 15th and 21st. Council leader Gordon Lowe added, "We've thoroughly planned our service delivery during the festive season and we'll be working to ensure disruption to services during this time is kept to a minimum. I'd also like to reassure residents that if they have an urgent need, there will be council employees and resources available to provide assistance. Emergency help with council services will be available at all times by calling 0300 123 4510. That's 0300 123 4510. Community wardens will be out and about throughout December, assisting the public, providing reassurance, deterring crime, supporting businesses and helping to keep streets safe.
Migration policy is disastrous. Rona Mackay has called Tory plans to curb migration disastrous for local businesses and public services. The SNP MSP was speaking after the Tory government announced stricter regulations on people from outside the UK coming to work in Scotland, including a minimum salary requirement of £38,700 and a ban on care workers bringing family to the country. Ms Mackay called the policies a disaster for NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde, the local care sector and local businesses who have already been hammered by the Tories' cost of living crisis and broken Brexit. She told us Scotland has an ageing population and our coveted public services rely on sustaining a strong, skilled workforce if we are to continue to provide the same levels of excellent service. We need to be encouraging more people to move to Scotland, not putting up barriers. These newly announced measures from the Tories will be sure to store up serious problems down the line for our NHS and my constituency's hospitality industries.
Charity's Christmas gift. Golden Goose for Christmas. It's been an incredible year for Scotland's charity Air Ambulance, which celebrated its 10th anniversary in 2023. And the year ended on a golden note too, thanks to the donation of an early Christmas present which helped the charity coin in the cash. A foreign coin deposited in one of its collection cans turned out to be worth £1,462. The 2015 American Gold Buffalo $50 coin languished amongst other foreign rejects from the charity's coin counting machine for several weeks before being sent as part of an overseas collection to Exchange Master. It was there that the true value of the anonymous donation was discovered. Kate Lodes, SCAA Community Fundraising Manager, said, "We have hundreds of collection cans distributed throughout Scotland. These are all emptied and counted, with any foreign, out-of-date or misshapen coins gathered in a box. When we have enough foreign coinage, it is sent for a conversion to sterling for our funds. As a result, the life-saving charity staff have no way of knowing which collection can contain the valuable 1 ounce gold buffalo coin. It could have been donated anywhere in Scotland," said Kate. "All we know is that we're hugely grateful to whatever kind person parted with their US coin to support the work of SCAA. Their generosity helps us to respond to critical injury and illness wherever we're needed in Scotland. So we thank them for making one of our collection cans a real Christmas cracker. Last year alone, SCAA raised nearly £26,000 through collection can giving. It's key strands of our fundraising support and continues to pull in much needed funds," added Kate. "It's the first time, however, that a single can has delivered such a large return. It really is the golden goose of SCAA's Christmas." The coin was the icing in a great year for the charity, which toasted its 10th anniversary in May. Since May 22nd, 2013, SCAA has responded to more than 5,000 call-outs, raised over £50 million, and flown nearly 500,000 miles, saving thousands of lives and impacting on thousands more, particularly in remote and rural areas of Scotland. The charity has grown in the last 10 years from one aircraft service at Perth to a two-helicopter fleet based at Perth and Aberdeen, with two rapid response vehicles responding to nearby emergencies. It has more than doubled the crew numbers, extended its operation hours, developed its workforce and built an army of nearly 200 volunteers nationwide. SCAA's first mission was to airlift Trisha McKenzie, seriously injured when her car swerved to avoid a deer and left the road near Dunoon on May 23, 2013. Their arrival turned a two-hour road trip to hospital into a 12-minute mercy flight. Now, crews are responding to an average of 3 emergencies every day, sometimes as many as 12, with Trisha's words 10 years ago proving prophetic. SCAA is an absolutely brilliant addition to Scotland's life-saving resources, and I have nothing but praise for the pilots and paramedics who crew it, she said at the time. "This helicopter and its amazing team will save a lot of lives in Scotland, And I'm so glad they were there for me during what was a terrifying experience. SCAA is fully integrated into the 999 Emergency and Response Network, deployed by the Scottish Ambulance Service Special Services Desk to serious illness and injury, anywhere in Scotland and its many islands. A vital part of the country's chain of critical interventions, SCAA receives no government funding and is supported entirely by public donations. The charity's CEO, David Craig, reflected on the efforts of all those who have played a part in its growth and success story over the past decade, making SCAA's distinctive helicopters a regular sight in our skies, and the charity one of the most respected and best known in Scotland. He said, "From the visionary to turn an idea into reality, the frontline crews who work tirelessly to fly paramedic and critical doctor-led teams to emergencies, our board of trustees who govern the charity and set its strategic direction, the charity team who promote and deliver many activities and drive SCAA forward, the volunteers who help maintain a public profile, right through to the businesses, trusts, foundations, organisations and individuals who never fail in generosity, has sustained our service even through the most challenging times. The country owes them all a huge debt of gratitude. We would like to thank everyone involved in ensuring those most seriously ill or injured have paramedic or doctor attention as quickly as possible and are airlifted to advanced hospital care in the fastest possible time." Scottish Charities Air Ambulance Service is available 365 days of the year to help Scots in need. To find out more or support its life-saving work by making a donation, visit www.scaa.org.uk. Essential support for Scots caught up in sextortion. Police Scotland is urging anyone targeted by sextortion to report it to ensure they get the support they deserve. Sextortion is sexual extortion and involves the threat of having sexual information, photos or videos shared with others. It is carried out to extort money or force a victim to do something against their will, control behaviour or obtain further images. Figures published by Police Scotland show an increase in reported crimes of threats and extortion compared to last year and since changes in crime recording were introduced in April 2020. Between April and September 2023, there were 1,430 crimes of threats and extortion compared to 819 in the same period last year, 74%. Analysis shows much of this relates to sextortion-style crimes. David Duncan, Assistant Chief Constable, said, "Sextortion is blackmail and those targeted should not pay, nor should they be embarrassed or scared to report it to the police. We are experiencing an increase in the number of sextortion incidents being reported and, although we are encouraged that victims appear more confident in coming forward, we know from our partners that this is still likely to be an underreported offence. Criminals use the internet, social media, dating apps, webcams or pornography websites and fake identities to befriend people online and then threaten to send images to their family and friends. People shouldn't panic, there is support available from policing and from third party organisations. We want people to know that they will be treated with respect and dignity and the circumstances investigated professionally. There is information available on the Police Scotland website on ways you can stay safe online, such as not sharing intimate images. Sextortion can be committed by individuals. However, organised crime gangs based overseas are also believed to be responsible. The inclusion of threats and extortion contributed to a rise in overall violent crime reported to Police Scotland between April and September 2023. For support and advice, visit www.scotland.police.uk/advice-and-information/internet-safety/sextortion.
Your art exhibited. Scottish youngsters aged 3 to 18 have been given the chance to have their artwork featured at the National in Edinburgh. National Galleries of Scotland is encouraging young people to let their imaginations run wild and create their own artworks. Drawings, paintings, 3D sculptures or video, there are no limitations. All submissions will then feature as part of the spectacular Your Art World exhibition, showcasing the creativity of young artists from across Scotland. All they need to do is photograph their work and upload it to National Galleries of Scotland's online gallery. Then they can go along and see their creation featured digitally on screens in the National. All new entries sent in will be added to the screens every month until the exhibition ends on April the 14th. Submissions can be made at www.nationalgalleries.org/exhibition/your-art-world.
Make sure your medication is in for the festive period. As the festive season approaches, NHS 24 is urging the people of Scotland to be prepared. People who rely on prescribed medication are being asked to make sure they have enough medicines to cover them over the Christmas holidays. Ensuring people don't run out of essential medicines over this period will help them to manage their health during the busy time of year. Dr. John McAnoe, NHS 24, Head of Pharmacy and Associated Clinical Director at NHS 24, said, "December is a hectic time of year and it is understandable that health needs such as ordering and picking up prescriptions can be forgotten about until the last minute. Every year over the festive holiday period, NHS 24's 111 service receives a high number of calls from people who have either lost or run out of their prescribed medicine. To avoid this stressful situation, we are encouraging everyone to check their medicine supply now or order only what you need to see yourself through the festive period and make sure you remember to pick up what you've ordered before GP practices and pharmacies close for the holidays. This will mean you can focus on enjoying the festive celebrations with your loved ones and help the 111 service to support more people who require urgent health advice. In addition to prescription medications, NHS 24 Winter Health Campaign, Healthy Know-How, also recommends that individuals keep some over-the-counter medicines at home for common ailments and illnesses, such as colds, flu and sore throats. NHS 24's advice is that people have remedies available such as pain relief as well as treatments to help with cold symptoms, diarrhoea, constipation and indigestion. Dr. McAnoe added, "Your local pharmacist can advise you on the most appropriate remedies to keep at home for you and your family, including any medicines you might need for children. Pharmacies play a crucial role in the health service and can help support you and your loved ones to stay fit and well over winter. For more information, visit the website at www.nhsinform.scot/winter.
Celebrating cinema in Kirkintilloch with some festive classics. Classic festive films and cinematic celebrations of Scotland will be entertaining moviegoers at Kirkintilloch Town Hall in the coming weeks. The Kirky Picture Palace is back from Friday, December the 15th, with a dementia-friendly screening of White Christmas at 2 p.m. There will be a baby-friendly screening of The Polar Express on December the 19th at 10 a.m, with under twos allowed in for free. Then on December the 23rd, you can enjoy a choice of Elf, PG at 1 p.m, Home Alone, PG at 3:30 p.m, and It's a Wonderful Life, 6:30 p.m. Snacks and refreshments are available to purchase at showings. The Picture Palace is organised by your Kirky and supported by East Dunbartonshire Leisure and Culture Trust, EDLCT, which operates Kirkintilloch Town Hall. EDLCT Chairman Councillor Jim Gibbons said, We're delighted to host the ever popular Picture Palace events at Kirkintilloch Town Hall. It's a chance to enjoy new and classic movies in a fantastic setting. Look out for more events at the venue throughout 2024. The new year will see a celebration of Scotland on the silver screen, so stay tuned for more on that. Tickets for all showings cost £5 adults and £3 child, with carers allowed in for free for certain screenings. Book online via yourkirky.com/Kirky Picture Palace or pay on the door.
Wednesday the 13th of December, let's talk. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. Rwanda Charade. Sir, it is disgraceful that so many leading politicians and journalists play along with the Rwanda Charade. The government is unwilling to take firm action to end the tens of thousands of illegal immigrants crossing the channel each year. The distraction of Rwanda allows them to pretend to be doing something and to deflect the blame for its impossibility on the courts. The demand for migration from poor, corrupt and repressive countries to the UK is effectively limitless. Also, most of those making the journey are young male economic migrants with little to offer our country. If we don't deter arrivals, the numbers will just keep on rising. A genuinely democratic government would carry out the will of the people. It would arrest the illegals on arrival and detain them behind razor wire until they could be returned to their own countries. It would face down the courts with their endless human rights excuses, why we have to let everyone in and pay for them indefinitely. It would most certainly not attempt to deceive the British people. Yours, etc. Otto Inglis, by email. Undisguised neoliberalism. Sir, here are a few words for anyone thinking of voting Labour. Keir Starmer's claim to embrace entrepreneurialism is undisguised neoliberalism with a mix of low taxation and privatisation. It's identical to the policies of the Tories and of the Lib Dems if they ever got within shouting distance of government. The inevitable consequence of the neoliberal approach will be to perpetuate and probably worsen the wide income inequality or wealth gap which blights the UK. The Scottish branch of Labour should be ashamed to accept the UK's unequal wealth distribution. This the SNP attempts, to their credit, to mitigate in various ways. Yours, etc. Derek Ball, by email. COP28 fiasco. Sir, our Prime Minister is obviously a very great fan of Lewis Carroll, and he must delight in the thought that COP28 is the 21st century equivalent of the Mad Hatter's Tea Party. To be sure, Rishi Sunak appears absolutely delighted that the UK's contribution, 1%, of global emissions is down 40% since 1990, while China, the world's worst polluter, has risen 300%. Perhaps the PM's skills do not encompass the meaning of percentages. He then adequately demonstrates the extent of his other cerebral skills by announcing a new deal between the UAE state-owned renewables company, Masdar, and the German energy company, RWE. This joint venture is to invest in the UK's £11 billion wind farm at Dogger Bank, the biggest in the world, which he claims could help to power 3 million homes, although he conveniently neglects to say that without the right wind will power zilch homes. But then, in the spirit of the Mad Hatter, the PM announces a whopping £3 billion for international climate finance, including halting deforestation and the acceleration of renewable energy. Meanwhile, China and India are building lots and lots of dirty coal-fired power stations. You just cannot make it up. And there is little truth in the rumour, attributed to foreign coal industries, that Rishi Sunak is known as Humpty Dumpty, who famously said, "When I use a word, it means just what I choose it to mean, neither more nor less." Yours, etc. Dave Haskell, by email. Panda's return. Sir, it is heartening news that Qian Qiang and Yang Guan have returned to China. It is heartening because it goes against the colonial policy of not returning anything which has landed in Britain, by either hook or crook. This colonial policy is still in practice, as seen by the attitude adopted by Rishi Sunak when cancelling his meeting with the Greek Prime Minister. This continuing attitude is likely to threaten the relations between two European friends. Yours etc. Hassan Beg, by email. Populist politics? Sir, can this awful government stoop any lower in pandering to their ghastly right wing? James Cleverley's announcement of curbs to legal migration are cruel, heartless and totally misguided. Let's shout out loud that we need legal immigrants, we want legal immigrants and we don't want or need this government. Yours etc. Brian Bannatyne Scott, by email. An ancient Scottish woodland is saved. A remote ancient woodland, home to Scotland's oldest wild Scots pine, which is at least 565 years old, has been saved from being lost forever. The woodland has been given a chance of regeneration thanks to Trees for Life as part of the charity's vast Afric Highlands Rewilding Initiative. Several centuries old and scattered through Glen Loina in the Highlands, the pinewood remnant of some 57 pines was at risk from overgrazing by deer, a key threat to Caledonian pinewoods that prevents them from naturally regenerating. The oldest pine has been dated to at least 1458 by St Andrews Tree Ring Laboratory and is believed to be even older. The ancestry of such pines stretches back to the last ice age. In cooperation with a landowner whose love of the pinewoods made the project possible, Trees for Life has created a new deer-proof enclosure of fencing to protect the woodland, including the most ancient pines, and to allow young seedlings to grow without being eaten. James Rainey, Trees for Life senior ecologist, said, "Glen Loina's wild pines and other Caledonian pinewoods are globally unique and a special part of Scotland's character and culture. Saving and restoring them offers major opportunity for tackling the nature and climate crises." Trees for Life surveyed the site as part of its four-year Caledonian Pinewood Recovery Project, one of the most comprehensive surveys of the health of Scotland's pinewoods. The team found that some of the oldest pines were outside an area of fencing which had been erected in the 1990s to protect the trees from grazing pressure. Deer had also breached the fenced area. Some 1.5 kilometres of new fencing has now been installed, connecting up with existing sections which have also been extended and repaired. Heavy-duty materials have been transported into the remote glen by helicopter. The pine wood will be able to naturally regenerate for the first time in decades, James added. Fencing is only a temporary fix, but for now it's a vital way of giving these precious pine woods a fighting chance of recovery until effective landscape deer management can be properly established. Historically part of the Royal Hunting Grounds of Cluny, the Glen Loina woodlands would once have been a home to capercaillie, wildcat and lynx. Ordnance Survey maps from 1874 show a more extensive woodland in the glen, but by the 1990s there were only 85 ancient pines left, and this has since been reduced further to just 57. The Nature Recovery Project has been funded by the family of Harry Stephen, who, with Jock Carlyle, wrote The Native Pinewoods of Scotland, published in 1959. This pioneering book recognised the special status of the pinewoods and documented 35 wild pine populations that had managed to survive centuries of deforestation. In the 1990s, the work of Stephen and Carlyle led to the then Forestry Commission of Scotland compiling Scotland's official Caledonian Pinewood Inventory, which totally recognised 84 sites. Glen Loina lies within Afric Highlands, the UK's largest rewilding landscape. The Caledonian Forest once covered much of the Highlands, but today less than 2% survives.
Barriers to school attendance explored. Education Scotland has released a new report to understand the current barriers and challenges which influence school attendance. The organisation has also made a number of recommendations to prevent missed learning opportunities in Scottish schools. Improving attendance, understanding the issues, explores the current factors that influence non-attendance and identify support or interventions for schools, children and their families. Attainment advisors contacted all 32 local authorities in Scotland to gauge where improvements had been made in primary, secondary and special schools from June 2022 to June 2023. This rapid research review samples data from 14 local authorities and 18 schools to gain a deeper understanding of the issues. It also shares examples of where practice is improving attendances. Particular groups are more vulnerable, including pupils impacted by poverty, those with additional support needs, secondary age pupils, and young people from gypsy and traveller communities. As a result of the report, Education Scotland has set out a list of 5 actions for consideration, including carefully monitoring strategic plans for improving attendance or developing a plan where one is not in place. Education Scotland will also work closely with local authorities to improve how they track attendance. Gillian Hamilton, Education Scotland Interim Chief Executive, said, "There is system-wide concern about non-attendance, particularly since the pandemic, so we want this report to highlight how we as a system can support improvement."
Art is acquired for the nation. Ken Curry's Unknown Man, a portrait of the preeminent forensic anthropologist, Professor Dame Sue Black, has been acquired by the National Galleries of Scotland. The arresting portrait has been on long loan to the gallery since 2021, but has now been secured for the nation permanently. It will ensure the continued enjoyment of this poignant work, which is currently available to view for free at the Portrait Gallery. Unknown Man depicts one of the most distinguished, internationally famous contemporary Scots, Professor Black. Ken's large-scale painting shows her in surgical robes standing behind the covered remains of a body. The idea for the portrait grew when Ken and Professor Black met during a BBC Radio 4 discussion on the relationship between art and anatomy. Ken later visited the Centre for Anatomy and Human Identification at the University of Dundee, where Professor Black was director. The artist was so moved by the work he encountered there that he asked her to sit for a portrait. Sir John Layton, National Galleries of Scotland Director General, said, "We are delighted to have acquired this powerful and moving work, which has already generated a lot of interest. The Portrait Gallery provides the perfect setting for this outstanding painting, which now has a permanent home alongside other images of pioneers in the fields of science, sport and the arts." Named by Ken, Unknown Man relates to the aim of a forensic anthropologist to identify remains and restore the identity of the deceased, while also referring to the body depicted in the painting. Ken bestows Professor Black with the qualities of impassivity and sternness in his portrait. She stands stock still in full face, arms spread equally, holding the trolley before her. The artist has also had another much-loved work to the National Collection, Three Oncologists, a 2002 painting depicting three professors who were leading the innovators in cancer research at the University of Dundee and Nine Wells. Both are currently on display in the Modern Portrait exhibition.
Don't get scammed this Christmas. Readers are being urged to remain vigilant to avoid falling victim to scams. These types of crimes tend to be more prevalent around Christmas time, so Police Scotland is urging readers to be on their guard. Officers have issued advice to help protect yourself. Never pay using bank transfer when purchasing items online. Use a secure payment method recommended by reputable online retailers and auction sites. Only use reputable web pages and open the website by typing into your browser. Be wary of clicking on links on social media or unsolicited messages sent to you. Be suspicious if the offer appears to be too good to be true. Be wary of texts or emails claiming to be from a delivery company asking you to pay a fee or enter bank details to receive a missed delivery. Visit www.scotland.police.uk/advice-and-information/scams-and-frauds.
Wednesday the 13th of December. District News, Churches. Springfield Cambridge Church. Morning worship on Sunday December the 17th will be conducted by Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our Assistant Minister, Mrs. Julia Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. The service will include our Sunday School Nativity. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall after morning worship. Come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. Morning worship has also been live streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday the 13th of December from 10 to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, December the 13th from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. On Sunday, December the 17th, the fundraising group will be offering tickets at the donation price of £2 for their festive hamper. Kirkintilloch Church of God. On Sunday, at Regent Hall, Regent Street, there will be a Christmas family service at 4 p.m. Join us for carols, seasonal videos and guest speaker Andy McCarrick. Mince pies and coffee served after the service. All welcome. On Wednesday, our coffee corner is open from noon to 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and neighbours for a chat over coffee. For up to date and further information on our services, visit our website www.regenthall.org. The Bible says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be in his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. St. Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday December the 17th will begin at 11 a.m. as usual, and be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. During the service, there will be age-related activities for the young people in church. As our Advent journey towards Christmas continues, we have a number of extra services taking place. There will be a blue service taking place at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, December the 20th. On Christmas Eve at 11 a.m, there will be an all-age service, and at 11:30 p.m. there will be a watch night service, during which we will welcome in Christmas Day. On December the 13th, Wednesday welcome will continue beginning at 11 a.m, when there will be tea, coffee and home baking available. At 11:30 a.m, our monthly communion service will take place. On Wednesday, December the 20th, there will not be a service on the Wednesday, but we will welcome St. Mary's Nursery into the church, where they will entertain us and any parents and grandparents who wish to join us with their version of the Nativity. The Nativity will start at 10:30 a.m. Tea, coffee or non-alcoholic mulled wine with shortbread will be available before the Nativity begins. At this very busy time of year, there is still a chance to slow down to our still and slow meetings on Thursday, December the 14th and December the 21st, beginning at 7:30 p.m. in the Session House. Kenmure Parish Church. Our gift service this Sunday and all gifts received will be going to the Glasgow City Mission. This year, they are appealing for men's underwear, shaving foam, deodorant, razors, chocolate biscuits and chocolate. The service itself begins at 11 a.m. and will take the form of a traditional 9 lessons and 9 carols service, led this year by Jim Wright and Fiona Young. Later, from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., There will be a soup and praise evening. You're welcome to join us both in the church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as this is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for KMU Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees at a time of fellowship follows the end of the church service. Details of all of our groups currently running may be found on our website kenmure-church.co.uk. That's kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you would like to join our WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Home Church Scotland, Lammermoor Road, Kirkintilloch, G662AB. Home Church Kirkintilloch, Home Church East End, Carmyle, G328DP, and online. A church for all ages. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, "Don't be afraid, for you have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus." Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 31. Sunday, December the 17th, 10 a.m. prayer meeting, followed by refreshments, 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Worship service, children's church and creche, followed by refreshments. A warm welcome awaits you. Home Church Carmyle, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Minibus leaves Home Church at 5:45 p.m. for the evening service. Tuesdays and Wednesdays, Bible studies and discussion groups in person and on Zoom. Wednesdays, mothers and babies, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Home groups, 7:15 p.m. at Kirkintilloch and Carmyle. Fridays, craft and coffee, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. open to the community. Youth fellowship, 7:30 to 9 p.m. a varied programme. Friday, December the 15th. Ladies' Christmas night, 6:30 p.m. Home radio available every day. New Year's Eve Cayley, Sunday, December the 31st at 8 p.m. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information for Carmyle and Kirkintilloch. Welcome to Cadder Parish Church. We look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday to our morning service, which will feature our Cadder kids and our nativity. The service will be led by Reverend John McGregor and Probationer Minister Chris Gordon and Javier Jose Sendomalo, MMUS. All are welcome. Tea and coffee served after both services. Food bank. If you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday, and also on Zoom. For further details, contact the minister. Coffee shop, festive afternoon teas. Don't miss out on your mince pies and Christmas cake and a festive get-together. Seats still available for the teas on Wednesday, December the 13th, and Thursday, December the 14th. Why not get a friend or two together for a Christmas treat? Reserve your place at the coffee shop or phone Fraser McKenzie on 07909-906573 to reserve your seat. Tickets £14.50 each. Cadder singers, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas is here again, and so are the Cadder singers. Come along and get into the spirit of Christmas by joining us on Sunday, December the 17th in Cadder Church at 7 p.m. There will not only be the usual well-known songs and carols, but also the Nativity, told in words and music. Tea and coffee and mince pies will be served at the interval. No ticket required. All ages welcome. Winter warmth. The last one before Christmas is on Friday, December the 15th from 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Brian Jilt will be coming along for a Christmas sing-song, and there may even be a mince pie. Christmas Eve, Sunday, December the 24th, 10:30 a.m. Lessons and carols, 4 p.m. Christingle. 11:30 PM, watch night service. St. James Church, Hilton Road, Bishopriggs, Rector Reverend Canon Paul Watson, 0141-230-4080. On Saturday, December the 16th, dads and toddlers will be taking place in the church hall from 10:45 AM with a Christmas tree visit. All dads and toddlers are welcome to come along. Bacon rolls will be provided for the dads. On Sunday, December the 17th, there will be a Sunday club at 10:30 AM where members will be taking part in a nativity play. There is a communion service at 11 AM on Thursday in the chapel. And on Sunday, December the 17th, in the chapel at 9 AM and 10:30 AM in the church. When the service will include a nativity play, that evening at 6 PM, there will be carols by candlelight, followed at 7 PM with mince pies and mulled wine. Everyone is welcome to come along to any of the services. Do stay on for tea and coffee and fellowship afterwards. There are also other virtual services and groups. For up-to-date and further information, refer to our social media, Facebook, St. James LS, Bishopriggs, website, www.stjamesbishopriggs.org.uk. Colston Well Park Church. Yes, it's getting near that special time of year, so why not come along to Colston Well Park Church and join us for the festive season? Our service starts at 11 AM and is led by Reverend Matthew Cuthbertson, followed by tea, coffee and conversation in the church hall. On Monday, the art club continues at 10 AM to 1 PM and a warm welcome to anyone who wishes to join us. If interested, give Ramsay a call on 07709 584 680 for more information. On Wednesday, the Colston Tea Break, our community drop-in, is on at 11 AM to 12:30 PM. Feel free to pop in and enjoy good food, good chat and good company. Especially at this time, let's not forget the food bank and its essential work within our community. It is open every Friday from 11 AM to 1 PM and 2 PM to 4 PM. Special thanks to all who ably assist and all those who continually donate foodstuffs. Torrens Parish Church. The morning service at 10:30 AM on Sunday, December 17th, will have the Nativity and will be conducted by Reverend Stuart Irwin. To join the service online, go to www.torrensparishchurch.online.church. Our Christmas event, Into the Pantoverse, has details via Eventbrite, date, Friday, December the 15th, 1900 hours GMT, that's 7 PM. Location, One School Road, Torrens, G64, 4BZ. Lindsay Union Parish Church. Christmas services and events at Lindsay Union Parish Church, Wednesday, December the 13th. Christmas experience performances at 6:30 PM, 7 PM and 7:30 PM. Saturday, December the 16th, Bethlehem Experience, 4 PM to 5:30 PM. Sunday, December the 17th at 11 AM, Christmas Nativity Service. Sunday, December the 17th at 4 PM, Lessons and Carols by Candlelight. Sunday, December the 24th, Christmas Eve, 11 AM, Christmas Service, 6:30 PM, Christmas Eve Family Service with Peace Light. 11:30 PM, Joint Watch Night Service at Lindsay Old, Monday, December the 25th, Christmas Day, 11 AM, Joint Service at Lindsay Union. Come along and join us at SDMP. If the preparations for Christmas are getting stressful, then St. David's Memorial Park Church are offering the perfect alternative to get you ready for the big day. On Christmas Eve at 10:30 AM, the church is holding a service of lessons and carols, telling the Christmas story and singing some favourite Christmas carols. The congregation at SDMP, as it is known, meets every Sunday at 10:30 AM in Alexander Street, and the local minister, Reverend Derek Pete, said, We know that life before Christmas gets really hectic, and it is great to be able to take some time out to hear again the message of the birth of our Saviour and sing together some of the time-honoured favourite hymns and tunes. Wednesday, December the 13th. District News. General. Heart of the Matter. Reflections on a Long Medical Career by Dr. Frank Dunn. It is just over 60 years since I first trundled up University Avenue to commence my medical training. The first year comprised of physics, chemistry and biology, including botany. I had a smattering of knowledge of the former two, but knew nothing about biology or botany. It was a pretty bumpy first year. The degree exams in physics and biology were after term 2 in March. I got through the physics but failed the biology. In those days you were allowed just one reset attempt. Thereafter, it was upwards and onwards. This month I found myself back at uni, teaching students how to examine different parts of the body. An actor was used as a surrogate for the patient, and I spent the morning taking the students, they did look very young, through the intricacies of inspection, palpitation, percussion, and auscultation. I was able to regurgitate my anecdotes and amusing incidents without cries of, "You told us that before," and the morning sped by without any hiccups. Glasgow has a highly valued medical school and accepts students from all over the world. Students from out with the UK pay several-fold the amount for the universities received for Scottish students. Understandably, the graduated overseas students will wish to return to their own country. However, quite a number of Scottish-born students opt to seek fame and fortune in a far-off land. Perhaps consideration should be given to asking them to recognise the benefits of a support university education by committing a period of time to the NHS before they consider a career overseas. It is worth reflecting on the fact that pilots trained by the RAF have to spend several years post-training with the RAF before heading to a commercial airline. If such a scheme were to be applied to Scottish medical graduates, perhaps after a few years working in the NHS, they may opt to remain in Old Scotia. I am delighted to have been given the opportunity to teach first and second year medical students. This provides a passport to so many areas within medicine, from anaesthetics to paediatrics and aviation medicine to public health, and everything in between. These young students are well adjusted and motivated, and they certainly give me hope for the future of medical care in Scotland, if we can retain them. And that was the Heart of a Matter Reflections by Dr. Frank Dunn. Horticultural Society. Our next meeting will take place in Enterprise House on Thursday, December the 14th, from 7:30pm to 9:30pm, where we will have a social evening with mince pies and mulled wine, a Christmas quiz and a Secret Santa. Potential new members will be made welcome on the night, or for more details about the Society, please contact Paul Malcolm on 0141 578 1520, or visit our website www.kirkintilloghorty.org.uk. Community Carol Singing. Campsie Parish and St Machan's Churches in Lennoxtown are holding a Community Carol Singing event on Saturday, December the 16th at 3pm in St Machan's Car Park, to which everyone is invited. Come along, join the singing and enjoy hot chocolate. District News. If you would like to highlight your group's meetings or any fundraising event, please feel free to send in all the details of who, where, when and what by email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. We look forward to hearing from you.
Ready to Sharpen the Title Defence. An article written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey. Leon Flint believes he can go to the next level after the former British under 21 champion on signed with Glasgow Tigers for the 2024 season. The 20-year-old wants to establish himself as a big hitter at Ashfield after riding for Berwick Bandits, Wolverhampton Wolves and Rybnik in Poland last season, as Glasgow looked to defend their championship title. Flint said, "This is a really big move for me, and a massive decision to further my career. Glasgow is a club I know really well, and feels like a natural step for me to take. Obviously, I'm born and bred in Berwick. It's a huge thing for me to leave Sheffield Park. There will always be a bit of Bandit in my heart. But I think it's a move I need to make for my own career. I need to experience new challenges, new tracks, and focus on going to the next level, which is my target at Glasgow. It's a big season for the Tigers as they are defending the league title. I'm up for that challenge. I'm looking forward to riding with new teammates and a new management. Now it's about focus and winning races consistently, home and away." Tigers team boss Cammy Brown admits that Flint, who will also be riding for Birmingham Brummies in the SGB Premiership, was a huge priority signing for 2024. He added, "People forget that Leon is still only 20. He seems to have been around for a long while, and that's because he was winning youth titles as a young kid. In my mind, he is one of the hottest prospects in the world of Speedway. We want him to fulfil that promise at Glasgow. We've known him a long time at Ashfield. He won't need time to settle because he knows the place. It's a very exciting signing for the club." Flint's signing is in association with Aberlour Children's Charity, which helps disadvantaged children and families in Scotland have a brighter future. Fans can donate online by visiting www.justgiving.com/page/glasgow-tigers-speed-way-1701-6924-4169. That number at the end of the link again is 1701-6924-4169. That article was written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey. Fiona signs pre-contract to make her City return. An article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Scotland international Fiona Brown has signed a pre-contract agreement to rejoin Glasgow City when she departs Swedish side Rosengard at the end of the month. The versatile 28-year-old returns to Petershill Park on a 2.5-year deal after leaving in the winter of 2016, having made 61 appearances for the club. During her first spell, Brown won 3 SWPL titles, along with 2 Scottish Cups and 2 SWPL Cups. Brown said, "When I left, I said I'd be right back. I think I've been Glasgow City's biggest fan for the last 7 years, but I'm excited to get back on the pitch with the girls. This club is special, and although things feel so familiar, so much has changed for the better in the time that I've been away. With all the changes, the club's values have remained the same, and align perfectly with mine. I know what it means to be City, and I hope to help the team build on their continued success. My time in Sweden has been incredible, and I've learned from some of the best players in the world. So I hope I can use that to help the team and win trophies like Glasgow City always have." Brown scored a total of 27 goals during her first 3 years spent at City, having joined from Celtic as a teenager. This includes an important away goal against Zurich when City reached the quarter-finals of the UEFA Women's Champions League in the 2014-2015 season. She has been capped 56 times for her country and played at both Euro 2017 and the World Cup in 2019. Brown initially played for Eskilstuna United before joining Rosengard, where she has won three Damallsvenskan titles and two Swedish Cups. City head coach Leanne Ross said, "We are delighted to welcome Fiona back to Glasgow City. During her first spell at the club, Fiona quickly became the fans' favourite due to her direct and energetic attacking style of play and ability to create and score goals. Fiona returns to City still as a top talent, but also with a wealth of experience having played at the highest level, something that will be invaluable to us for the remainder of the season. With the ability to play as a winger, wing-back or full-back on either side, Fiona's versatility will certainly strengthen the quality of our squad. I am delighted to be able to sign a player of Fiona's calibre on a pre-contract agreement and look forward to her joining up with the squad in January." City returned to action on Sunday with a 3-1 away to Hibernian. The visitors got off to the perfect start with barely a minute on the clock as Lauren Davidson set up Abby Larkin to blast home her first goal for City. Hibs equalised on 24 minutes through a Lee Eddy header, but just 5 minutes later, City were back in front as Amy Muir pulled the ball back for Larkin to find the top corner. Kinga Kozak sealed the 3 points just shy of the hour mark as she finished off a quick counter-attack. City are back home this Sunday as they host Partick Thistle. That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Petershill widened the gap at the top of the First Division. This article is unattributed, but it is being read by me, Corey. Petershill are now 4 points clear of the top of the WOS First Division after a thumping 5-1 win at home to Kilburnie Ladeside last midweek. Lorenzo Giovinazzi opening the scoring in the 11th minute as he headed in a Darren Miller free kick. 6 minutes later, PG McGriff showed good tenacity on the left and his low cross was tapped in by Alex Cassells to double the lead. Petershill captain Miller then made it 3-0 on 35 minutes, direct from a corner. And 3 minutes later, another Miller free kick was put into his own net by Raerid Clark. 2 minutes from the break, Kilburnie pulled one back as Alex Bell squared for Ryan Connolly to stroke home. The second half would be a quieter affair, and it looked like Miller hitting the bar would be the closest either side would come to adding to the scoreline. However, 2 minutes into injury time, a long kick out by goalkeeper K.P. McAllister sent substitute Dale Hepburn free to lob Glenn Cameron and make it 5-1. Petershill will make the short trip to Stepford Park on Saturday to face an Ashfield side who haven't been in action since their South Region Challenge Cup win over Lards Thistle nearly a month ago. Caledonian Locomotives moved up to second in the second division with a 2-0 win away to Kilsyth Rangers. Goals from Connor McLaughlin and Anthony Finn secured the victory and leaves Cali, Cumbernauld United and Kilsyth all sitting on 26 points. 10 behind the leaders are Drossin Winton Rovers. It is the fourth round of the Scottish Junior Cup this Saturday as Cali travel to Hurlford United. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy are through to the fourth round of the WOS Cup with a 1-0 win at home to Vale of Clyde. But Glasgow Perthshire are out after losing 3-1 at home to Cumbernauld in the second round. It is back to league action for both on Saturday as Rob Roy host Pollock in the Premier Division while Shire are at home to Ardrossan in the second division. West Park United missed out on a place in the final for the Strathclyde Demolition Cup after losing 1-0 at home to Neilston. West Park travel to Keilo Rovers in the third division on Saturday, while Rossville welcome Royal Albert in the fourth division. That article was unattributed, but it was read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Kirkandilloch Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Q and Review and to tell your friends about our service.